You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Mark chapter 14, if you would please. Mark chapter 14. And I spoke with Pastor Treiber this morning, and he sends his best to you. He loves this church, and I love him. Amen. And I love this church, and I'm so thankful the Lord brought us here. I don't know of any place, anywhere near this place, like this place. So this must be the place. And I just enjoy coming. I love to go to prison. I know that scares some of you. I've already been looking. I don't see any ones that I normally preach to here today. So that should calm everybody back down. That's probably a good thing. But, oh, by the way, when they do get out, we do want them to come. Did you know that? And I just believe that God can save them in prison, change their life. And then they can come be in the house of God and grow together. And one day we're going to be in heaven together. Thank God for that. But I love going to prison. I love talking about prison, especially when I'm in line at Costco, Walmart. And I'll look over at my wife. The line will be real long. And I'll look over at my wife and I'll say, "What day am I supposed to go to prison?" And you'll be amazed, sometimes people just let us go on up and just we get in front of them. They'll move to other lines. It's really interesting how it works. But I do enjoy going to prison. We had a good week. We had 16 saved this week. And so thank God for that. And I love seeing people trust Christ. Mark chapter 14, verse number 10. Mark chapter 14, verse 10. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. I enjoy having a good time. I like to have fun, as I mentioned to you. I love saying things, especially in lines and about prison. But a while back, I was at a store and I gave somebody a $100 bill and they began to mark it. And I said, "Ma'am, you don't have to do that." I said, "I just made it this morning." And my wife said, "Quit that." She said, "They're going to think you're serious." And I said, "I'm just kidding." Well, the lady's really shook now and she's really marking that thing. But may I say to you that the best counterfeit is the one that looks closest to the real thing. Now, there are many counterfeits in the world. And did you know that for everything God has, Satan has a counterfeit for? When it comes to his son, John 1:18, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." But 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." A counterfeit for Jesus Christ. I think about the Trinity. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 3, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Isn't it amazing that I find here Jesus, I find the Father speaking, Jesus being baptized in the Spirit of God in the form of a dove. But then I'm reminded of Satan in Revelation 20 verse 10. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." I think about the apostles, Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. But 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." You see, not everyone that says they're a preacher is a preacher of God. Oh, by the way, everyone you see on television are not preachers of God. I think about the children of God, John chapter 1, verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Matthew chapter 13, verse 38. "The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one." I think about the mark of God. Revelation chapter 7, verse 4. "And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." But then Revelation 13, 16 says, "And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead," speaking of the mark of the beast. When I read concerning Judas Iscariot, I believe he was one of the best counterfeits that we can find. He looked like a Christian. He acted like a Christian. He talked like a Christian. But he was fake. You know what I'm afraid of today, church? I'm afraid we have many in our local assemblies today that come to church and act like a Christian, talk like a Christian, look like a Christian, act like a Christian, but are fake. But are fake. And we wonder why we don't have the power of God upon our lives. I want you to notice some things today about the counterfeit Christian. I want you to notice with me, first of all, Judas Iscariot and his personality. You'll see it here in verse number 10. "And Judas Iscariot." Judas is a Greek rendering for the name Judah. Judah means Jehovah leads or praise the Lord. This name signifies that his parents were religious people because they would name their children with special names about their lives. So as I look at this, I can say that most likely Judas Iscariot's parents were believers. They were religious people who followed the leading of the Lord. But may I say to you, just because your parents follow the leading of the Lord does not mean you follow the leading of the Lord. I hate to word it this way. I believe we have one of the greatest Bible colleges in America, but there could be some young people here because mom and dad wanted you to come and not because God led you to come. It could be that you're here just to get people off of your back and not here for the right reason. And may I say to you, you will never get what God has for you until you get in the will of God. And the will of God is not just for you if it's in your parents' life. What does God want you to do? I find here the name not only means praise the Lord, but I find that his surname was Iscariot, which means a man of Kerioth. Kerioth was a farming town 23 miles south of Jerusalem. Judas was the only one of the 12 not from Galilee. He would have been a loner. However, he was trusted. He was trusted so much they elected him to be the treasurer of the group. Therefore, they had confidence in him. The Bible says in John chapter 12, verse 3, "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. You see, even though Judas was trusted, he was fake. He was dipping in the bag the whole time. He was all about money and not about the man Christ Jesus. He was about material things and not spiritual things. I want you to notice with me not only Judas and his personality, but if you'll go with me to Mark chapter 3, we're going to see Judas and his privileges. In Mark chapter 3, I'm going to begin reading at verse number 13. The Bible says, and he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. And then you will find in verse 16, in verse 17, in verse 18, the names of those that he called. And then when we get to verse 19, the Bible says, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, and they went into an house. I find here Judas and his privileges. He was called of God. I wonder if there's someone here this morning God is calling, but maybe you're confusing the call of God to service for a call of God to salvation. Maybe you're thinking, well, God wants me to do something. Well, your first calling is not to do something. Your first call is to be with Him. And I'm afraid many times there's a confusion at that, and we'll start doing this and doing that and the other, and doing things is wonderful, but God's first call into your life is a call to salvation. That's priority one. Hey, you can be the best usher, you can be the best choir member, you can be the best bus captain, you can do all these things in the flesh, and God not be anywhere around. You see, I'm afraid there are many counterfeits today that's in the ministry. I'm afraid there are many counterfeits standing behind pulpits in America. I believe that's why some churches are shutting down services all the time. I believe we're getting to the point where we're seeing the rubber meet the road, and we're finding out who's real and who's not real. And we've got to the point now that instead of wanting to get into church, we're wanting to hurry up and get out of church. I wonder how many people today in their churches across America were shut down just so they can watch a ball game this evening. I wonder how many people will use their screens in the church to show the ball game this evening. You see, I'm trying to be honest with you. I love you this morning, and I'm trying to be honest. We have many people today that's serving God that's never been birthed into God's family. I want you to notice he was called. But yet, Jesus said in John 6, verse 70, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? You see, Judas Iscariot, he fooled all the other disciples. He fooled the people that were surrounding the Lord Jesus Christ, but he never fooled Christ. Because Jesus knew exactly who he was. He knew not only who he was, he knew what he was, and that he was a counterfeit. I find Judas, not only was he called, but I find that he came. He came because he believed Jesus would defeat Rome and liberate Israel. He came because he thought Jesus would get him out of trouble. I was talking to a young lady one time. My wife would remember this. We were talking to a young lady one time about salvation, and she was telling me how that she needed to get saved. And I was talking to her husband, and he was telling me how he needed to get saved. And we were sitting there together, and I was going through the plan of salvation in the Bible with them. And both of them bowed their head and prayed and asked the Lord to save them. And then she made this statement. She said, "I guess my family will have to accept me now." I said, "Wait a minute." I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "Well, my family has not wanted to have anything to do with me." She said, "So I assume that they will have to accept me now because I asked the Lord to save me." I said, "This has nothing to do about your situation. This has to do with eternal life. Do you remember that?" And she looked at me and she said, "Well, if that's the case, I don't want to be saved." And I said, "Well, if that's the case, you didn't get saved." You see, salvation is not that pretty little prayer that you pray. Salvation is a meaning in your heart. Amen. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." When you get birthed into the family of God, God changes you. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. And you don't dictate to God how you want to be saved. You don't dictate to God what you're going to give to Him. We give Him our all. We come humbly and we say, "God, I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. If I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell right now. And God, all I'm asking for is mercy." Mercy. Just have mercy. You see, it's not the pretty prayer. Sometimes all we can say is just, "God, have mercy." But I sure am glad His mercy is sufficient. And I sure am glad that He's still reaching down to the lowest of the low, and He is picking us up and putting our feet up on a solid rock and establishing our goings. Only Jesus Christ can save your soul, but you must mean business with Him. I find not only was He called, I find that He came. I find that He was consecrated. He was ordained. He was set apart for special training, for a mission to be accomplished. He had been trained. He had sat there. Just think about it. I wonder how many sit in our Bible classes listening to the professor, but yet still lost. I wonder how many was in Sunday school this morning listening to the teacher teach, but yet still lost. I wonder how many have been in our church services listening to Pastor Treber week after week after week, but yet still lost. You see, just because I come to the services and just because I go to the classes and just because I listen intently and even though I can act just like everyone else does not mean I'm a child of God. I had a cousin years ago that went to a girls' home. And they would go out and sing and represent the girls' home. You fellows are probably familiar with situations like that. And they would come and they would sing, and she would stand there and she would hold her hand up. And she would praise the Lord. And she would give testimony. And then when she got out of that girl's home, she was right back out on drugs again. She was out of church. Didn't care anything about God. I sat down with her one day. I said, "What is going on?" I said, "I thought you had given your life to Christ." She said, "Oh, no." She said, "I just learned what to do and when to do it." I said, "Excuse me?" She said, "Well, I just knew as when I was singing, as long as I was singing, I didn't get in trouble." And she said, "So even to help matters," she said, "I even learned to lift my hand up once in a while." That's what my cousin told me. And she said, "I learned all these things." And she said, "I found out that I was treated better because I would sing. And I was treated better because I would raise my hand." She said, "So I did that." She said, "But I didn't mean any of it." She said, "I did it to keep myself out of trouble." I wonder how many people are just making a profession of faith to get out of trouble. I mean, just oh my, I wonder how many people, come and they get religion right before they go to a court date. I wonder how many people in our prisons make a profession of faith right before they go to the parole board. You see, I love seeing people make a profession of faith, but only they know and God knows if they're real or not. Because they can fool me. And they can fool you. But they can't fool God. I want you to notice he was not only called and he came and he was consecrated, but he was connected. He was chosen to be with Christ. Can you imagine the privilege of being with Christ? Can you imagine when Jesus fed the 5,000, Judas was there. When Jesus calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee, Judas was there. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, Judas was there. When Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, Judas was there. When Jesus healed the paralyzed man after being lowered from the rooftop, Judas was there. When Jesus warned the Pharisees, Judas was there. When Jesus spoke the parable of the prodigal son, Judas was there. Can you imagine the opportunity he had? He had the opportunity to hear and see Jesus firsthand, and yet he wasted it. Satan had put in his heart the desire to betray Jesus Christ. Oh, preacher, I don't know a lot about them, but I know one thing. They have a good heart. No, they don't. Neither do I. Because the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God. How could Judas do such a thing as to sell the Lord Jesus Christ? How could he do such a thing? He was called, he came, he was consecrated, he was connected, he was commissioned, he was confirmed. I want you to notice, thirdly, Judas and his problem. Would you go back with me, please, to Mark chapter 14 and verse 10? Mark chapter 14 and verse number 10. The Bible says in Judas Iscariot, notice this, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. Judas went unto the chief priests to betray Christ. He's going there because, as I mentioned, he thought Jesus would overthrow Rome and free Israel from Roman oppression. He thought Jesus would restore the kingdom to Israel. He thought Jesus would take care of all of his problems and get him out of a bad situation. And when that did not happen, he became disillusioned with Christ. And he never accepted him for who he was. He only trusted Christ for his personal and national deliverance. And he never understood the kingdom of God, only the kingdom of Israel. I see not only his confusion, I see the covetousness. According to John chapter 12, Judas was a thief. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. He was a thief. This is the first time that Judas has even uttered a word, and we find it's a complaint about money. If you want to find out somebody's spirituality, talk to them about money. I heard a preacher say one time, "When if God didn't save your pocketbook, he might not have saved your heart." Because you know what you find when God saves you? You can't do enough for Him. Think about what He brought you out of. Think about what He's brought you unto.
Amen.
And without Him, where would we be today?
Praise the Lord.
I'm glad not only did He save me out of hell, but He sure has saved me out of a lot of sin in my life. He's made a difference in my life. He's changed me, and He can do the same thing for others. I remember one time back in West Virginia, there was a family, and the grandfather passed away. By the way, let me clarify something. I'm from Virginia, not West Virginia. Let me just clarify that. There is a difference. There is a reason we sold that part. There is a reason. But in West Virginia, there was a family, and the grandfather had died. And so they took him. He was an old farmer. They took his body there. The funeral home came and got him and fixed him up, put him in a nice suit, and laid him in there in the casket. And you know how you always have the family come in and view first? So the family comes in and views the body, and they were just amazed. He'd never looked so good. And so the funeral director went out, and the other members of the funeral home went out, and they're waiting and just giving the family time there. And so then it gets time for the visitation for other people to come, and people started coming in. And then they asked, they said, "Well, where is he?" And the funeral director said, "Well, he's in here. Just come this way." And the funeral director took him over, and they went into the room where he was supposed to be, and the casket was there, but the man was gone. And the family was gone. And the funeral director's like, "What in the world's going on?" So he gets in his car, he drives out to the family farm, and he goes out there and he sees the whole family gathered around the tractor. They had took the dead guy, set him up on the tractor, and they were all standing around taking pictures. The funeral director said, "What are you doing?" They said, "Well, he's never looked so good." He said, we just had to bring him back and take family pictures. He's like, "The man is dead." They said, "Yeah, I know, but he looks so good." Years ago, I was in Lima, Peru. And they took me down into the catacombs of a church called Church of St. Francisca. And I went down there in the catacombs, and they were telling me how beautiful things were. I think it was 25,000 people had been buried there, and they had, after their bodies had deteriorated, they took the bones and divided them up and put them in different segments. Over here, you would have legs. Over here, you'd have arms. Over here, you would have skulls. There's a big round thing of skulls, and I was standing there, and it creeped me out. And the man looked at me and the preacher that was with me, and he said, "We try to put everything here in artistic fashion." I looked at the missionary with me and I said, "Get me out of here. We're surrounded by dead people." Yeah. And the guy over the place, he said, "But it's a wonderful thing. People come from miles to see this." I said, "Get me out. I don't want to be surrounded by dead people. When I go on vacation, I don't go to the funeral home. Get me out of here." Because no matter how nice you make it look, they were still dead. Can I tell you something, church? No matter how good we might look, if we've never put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are still dead. Brother Martinez, when my wife found out I was going to preach here, she went and did two things. She bought me a new tie, and she bought me a new shirt. And I'm like, "Look, you don't need to do that." She said, "I want to do this." So she went and got me a new tie, and she got me a new shirt. But she didn't get me new socks. So I wore my socks today that are a little bit old. But honestly, I don't see any problem with it when you got them in your shoes. I mean, nobody's going to pay attention when they're in your shoe, right? So she got me that, and then I looked over at her and I said, well, did you get me a new tie clip to go with my tie? She said, no, I didn't get that. So this morning I got up and I said, well, I don't have a tie clip to go with it, so I just used the best thing I had. I hope that's all right. I didn't figure anybody would see it anyway. And I just love my shirt she got me. Because she paid a lot for that. You want to hold that for me? I mean, she really went all out for me. Because she said, I want you to look good. You're preaching at the North Valley Baptist Church. And I said, yes, and when I wear that, I will probably never preach again. But only she and I knew what I had on today. Only she and I knew my shirt was ripped to shreds. I sat in your Sunday school class like this today. You didn't know I was dressed this way. I promise you, Pastor Treber didn't know I was dressed this way. But can I tell you something? God knew about it. I wonder how many people in this room today, their spiritual life is just like this. Oh, we've got it all hid. We've got everything pushed aside. I'm reminded of where the Bible says in Matthew 23, verse 27, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. You see, Judas was lost. He was lost when he preached. He was lost when he cast out devils. He was lost when they healed the sick. He was lost as he listened to the Sermon on the Mount. He was lost as he saw the miracles of Christ. He was lost when he watched Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. He was lost when he betrayed Christ. He was lost when he committed suicide. He even preached but was a devil. Let me ask you today, are you counterfeit or the real thing? I wonder not only how many counterfeits do we have when it comes to salvation, I wonder how many counterfeits do we have when it comes to service. Oh, we're doing it, but why are we doing it? I mean, we got up this morning and we yelled at the kids and we fussed at them and we kicked the dog and we got outside and we've been screaming at our wife and we're blowing on the horn for everybody to come, and everybody comes and gets in the car and we take off down the road like a maniac, and the kids start screaming and we're reaching back there trying to grab them, and we're telling them to shut up, and we're doing all these things, and we get here and we say, get to your classes, let's go. How are you? I wonder how many counterfeits we have when it comes to service. Number one, are you a child of God? And number two, are you serving God for the right reason?
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.